Good evening and welcome to Lakeshore Public Radio. I'm Tom Lounges. Tonight's edition of Midwest Beat is all about you mothers out there. Seriously, it is. We're going to talk about Listen to Your Mother, LTYM, as we in the business call it. It's a live production that's going to be coming to the Arts Theater in downtown Hobart. And I've got three of the principal cast members here, Carrie, Rose, and Melissa. The event takes place May 12th, 7 p.m. It opens at 6 with a little jazz cocktail party for those of you that are fashionably early. And we're going to talk all about what this theatrical event is and why they're doing it and how you can go. It's all happening after our headlines on Lakeshore Public Radio. Stay with me.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Spear. The Senate Veterans Affairs Committee is postponing indefinitely a hearing for President Trump's nominee to head the Department of Veterans Affairs, Dr. Ronnie Jackson, and the president's enthusiasm appears to be waning. Jackson's path to confirmation derailed by reports of inappropriate workplace behavior. Senator John Tester of Montana is the top Democrat on the committee. He summarized the allegations today on NPR's All Things Considered.
Improper dispensing of prescription drugs, repeatedly drunk while on duty, while traveling, and creating a toxic work environment.
Tester says the allegations were brought to the committee by some 20 military and retired military personnel. Trump said today Jackson will make a decision soon on whether to continue and went on to say if it were him, he wouldn't do it. The majority of the U.S. Supreme Court is siding with foreign corporations in ruling the companies cannot be sued in U.S. courts for terrorist attacks and human rights violations. It was a narrow defeat for victims who sued under a colonial-era law. NPR's Nina Totenberg reports the ruling effectively puts an end to human rights lawsuits against overseas corporations with ties to the U.S.
Writing for the court majority, Justice Anthony Kennedy said that courts are not well-suited to make the required policy judgments that are implicated by corporate liability in cases like this one. Rather, the political branches, Congress and the executive, should deal with these issues, and unless explicitly authorized by Congress to do so, the court should stay out of these controversies. The 5-4 decision was along ideological lines, with the 5 conservatives in the majority and the 4 liberal justices countering that by foreclosing corporate liability, the court is absolving corporations from responsibility for conscience-shocking behavior. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.
Prosecutors told the jury in Bill Cosby's criminal retrial the comedian's television persona is in contrast to the sexual predator who victimized scores of women. Bobby Allen of member station WHYY reports the remarks came in the prosecution's closing argument before the jury begins deliberating tomorrow.
Prosecutor Kristen Fedden brought up a term defense lawyers have used to describe Cosby's main accuser, con artist. Fedden marched across the courtroom to where Cosby was sitting and pointed directly at him, shouting, quote, "The perpetrator of the con is this man sitting right here." Cosby silently shook his head in disagreement. Fedden described the defense team's questioning of other accusers who took the stand as, quote, "character assassinations that feed into rape myths." Earlier, defense lawyers called primary accuser Constan a, quote, "pathological liar who experienced a, quote, so-called assault." For NPR News, I'm Bobby Allen in Norristown.
A down day for Wall Street. The Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 424 points today. The Nasdaq was down 121 points. You're listening to NPR. Even as the nation's opioid epidemic appears to have spread to older segments of the population, Medicare does not cover the oldest proven treatment for the problem, methadone. White House Commission, including the nation's governors and addiction experts, say Medicare should start paying for treatment at methadone clinics. Congress is said to be considering the legislation. While some methadone use for pain is covered, the drug does not meet requirements of the Part D program because it can't be dispensed at a retail pharmacy. Opioid overdoses killed 1,300 older Americans in 2016. Israel says it will not deport thousands of African migrants from the country. Just weeks ago, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said Israel would work to remove the migrants. NPR's Daniel Estrin has this update from Jerusalem.
The migrants say they fled hardship and conflict, but Israel said most came for jobs and looked to deport them to Africa. Israel has changed its policies several times regarding East African migrants in the country. This month, Israel reached a deal with the UN to resettle some migrants in Western countries and absorb others in Israel. But Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu scrapped the plan under pressure from his supporters. Instead, he said Israel would seek to expel migrants. Now, Israeli authorities say they cannot forcibly expel migrants, but they say they will encourage migrants to leave, willingly or unwillingly, without giving specifics. Daniel Estrin, NPR News, Jerusalem.
Crude oil futures prices followed the rest of the market lower today. Oil was down 1.7% to end the session at $67.70 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. I'm Jack Spear, NPR News, in Washington.
Support for NPR comes from Indeed.com, used by over 3 million businesses for hiring, where employers can post job openings, then use screener questions and an online dashboard to identify qualified candidates. Learn more at Indeed.com/hire.
Consideration for programming is provided by State Farm agent John Yelkich, serving insurance needs for Hobart and the surrounding areas. There when things go wrong, here to help life go right. More information is available at john4insurance.com.
Well, we're back. Good evening to you. If you just tuned in, this is Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm Tom Lounge, your host of Midwest Beat, a show all about music, the arts, and the people who make it. In studio with me tonight, Carrie, Rose, and Melissa. Well, who are they, you might ask? You'll find out shortly. You know, how many times were you told growing up, listen to your mother? I'll tell you what, you're going to hear a lot about that tonight, because we are going to tell you to listen to your mother, and we're going to tell you to go see a special event with your mom, if you can. It's coming up on May 12th in downtown Hobart at the Art Theater. It's an amazing new live theatrical event, for lack of a better term. I don't know if it's really theater. I don't know if it's really speaking engagements. It's a little of everything, and we're going to find out more about it. You know, one thing about mothers, there's all different shapes, sizes, and types. There's the June Cleaver mom, there's Wilma Flintstone mom, and of course there is Joan Crawford mom. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Put those wire hangers away. Right now, let's dust off a song about a rather evil mother. This is Glenn Danzig, formerly of the Misfits, as we crank it up to wake you up on 89.1.
Mother, tell your children not to walk my way. Tell your children not to hear my words, what they mean, what they say. Mother, mother, can you keep them in the dark for life? Can you hide them from the wedding world?
Thank you.
Glenn Danzig, going out to all the old metalheads from my past. I thought we'd play that to open up the show because I wanted everybody to wake up and understand that it's time now for Midwest Beat. And that's not a song you're going to hear any other day part here on Lakeshore Public Radio, I'm sure. Unless you go to Don's basement, and sometimes Don will play that one, but he's not here. I'm here, and we're going to talk about Listen to Your Mother. I know you were told that growing up forever and ever. Well, we're going to tell you all about it. Listen to Your Mother is a theatrical event that was founded back in 2010 on Mother's Day in Madison, Wisconsin. Leave it to the Cheeseheads. And honoring their mom, or are they? We'll find out. What is Listen to Your Mother all about? I'm going to ask that to Carrie. Carrie is producing this show.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having us out this evening. Listen to Your Mother is an amazing show. It brings together a myriad of people from different walks of life to share their experience about motherhood. We do have men in the cast as well, so it's not all from the female perspective.
That's an interesting take. Is that normal for this production?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yes, yes. And so we have a myriad of people telling their stories, and some are in the form of a reading, poetry. We have two stand-up comedians, and also songs. So all focused around motherhood. So it's going to be exciting.
Now, this is a little before Mother's Day.
Yes, the Saturday before. So the day before, actually. So it would be a great event to attend with the favorite your favorite females in your life, and we hope you'll come out.
Now, this is happening at the Art Theater in downtown Hobart.
Correct.
And it is on May 12th, as we mentioned, 7 p.m. Now, how many members are in the cast?
There are 15 members in the cast.
Okay.
13 women, 2 men. And we also have Chris Malman, the CEO of Ideas in Motion, as our MC.
Very good. Carrie, you are the one that brought this to Hobart. Now, you're familiar with this production. You've been a part of it in the past. Is that correct?
Yes. So it was produced for 5 years in Valpo at Memorial Opera House. And this year, I decided to produce and direct and brought it to my hometown of Hobart. We have a lot of amazing new businesses, restaurants, bookshops, coffee shops coming in. And I wanted to kind of bring that audience that loves Listen to Your Mother so well down to Hobart and to see what we have going on. Lots of amazing things, including your
new record store.
Yes.
If we ever get the doors open. All right. This is going to be taking place again at the Art Theater. There is a Facebook page, NWI Listen to Your Mother, easy to remember, and it's got all the details on it. Can they order tickets through the Facebook page?
Is there a link? There is a link to order tickets from the Art Theater. If you come across one of our posters, there's a QR code. You can also get them on Fandango.com.
So if you zap that QR code with your phone, you
it'll
can
go
order
right
your tickets?
Right to the link, yes. And then if you'd like to purchase them in person, you can get them at Three Monkeys Pub, the Librarium Cafe, or the Hobart Chamber of Commerce, and they're $15.
Now, this was founded, as I mentioned, on Mother's Day 2010 in Madison, Wisconsin, by Ann Immig?
Immig, yes, correct.
What's the history of this? Do you know?
Yes. So Ann started the event in her hometown of Madison, Wisconsin, and it was just in Madison, and then the next year some of her blogging friends decided that they wanted to bring it to their hometown, so she allowed them to do so, and it ended up being in 53 cities.
Wow.
A couple years ago. She did her grand finale season last year.
Why is that? Why did she bow out?
She's kind of, I think, going on to some other projects.
Okay.
And so now the show is available through licensing through a Miracle or Two Productions in New York, which is where I was able to get the rights to produce the show. And it's in, I believe, 8 cities this year. And her hope is that other theater venues will pick it up and produce it like they would, say, The Lion King or Les Mis.
And what's neat about this is because in every city, in every town that this is in, even if it's in the same town every year, it's always a different cast, different stories.
Yes.
This is about 90 minutes?
Yes.
Okay. So how did you pick which mothers got the cut.
Oh, it was.
And made it to the stage.
It was really hard. We had 3 different days of auditions, and we had approximately 40 men and women audition, and it's really tough. But as people who have produced prior to me have said, that the pieces will speak to you, and they'll show you how they fit together. And they did indeed kind of paint the picture and the story for me. And we have I'm really confident that we have a great final product, and that one that the audience is going to love.
We're going to find out who is in the cast in just a few minutes. We're going to meet a couple of them. Rose and Melissa are with us. We're going to find out about their part. But first, let's go back and play another song. This one, a little warmer and fuzzier. This is by a teenager named Owen Mack. It's My Mother, My Teacher, My Friend. And sometimes they're all three in one. My mother, my teacher, my friend. Owen Mack, brand new stuff from the countryside. I understand he's a young Irishman and sounds very feminine in that. I guess I thought he was a girl at first, but it's a little boy, not little, but it's a young boy, which is why he's got the high voice. Good song. A lot of meaning in that song. We are talking about mothers because, of course, Mother's Day is coming up, and even sooner than that, we will be going to listen to your mother at the Art Theater in Hobart. It's an intense, profound, emotional, heartwarming, perhaps hilarious, energizing show that involves the community from town to town, city to city, year to year. You never know what's going to happen on stage at Listen to Your Mother. The one that's coming here on May 12th to Hobart is no different. Let's find out a little bit about two of the mothers that are going to be part of it. We have Rose and Melissa. Let's start with Rose. Tell me about yourself and why and how you got involved in this.
Thank you for having us tonight, Tom. Actually, I'm one of the Lake Effect Toastmasters out of the Hobart Toastmasters group.
Okay.
And we advertised the show, actually, to see if we had any speakers that were willing to participate and wanted to participate. And two of us did. And actually, two of us are in the show. I was originally planning to audition this as a tribute to my mother,
mm-hmm.
and I was going to bring her to the show. And my mother unfortunately passed away on March the 7th.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Thank you. And I auditioned 3 days later. I pulled it all together and kind of changed the theme up a bit and decided to talk about those kids that just won't listen.
Okay. Were you one of those?
A bit
yeah?
much, yes.
Okay. Very good. Have you seen this before anywhere? Were you familiar with this before Carrie started producing it here locally?
Yes, actually, I was quite familiar with the Valparaiso one. We had a few friends that were actually in that show in the past couple of years. So I had watched it, and I had always thought about putting myself together and getting out there. And my mom was my biggest fan and always kept saying to me, Rose, why don't you do that? Why don't you do that? So I just went and did it.
You mentioned the Toastmasters, and that's something that I'm a little familiar with. Lisa and Jeff Winstead over in Hobart kind of put that together and brought it to town. What exactly is that, and how do people get involved? That's to kind of bring you out of your shell a little bit and learn to talk and speak in public and eventually go on the radio like you are and go on stage and tell stories.
Well, I think it's for anyone that actually needs to learn how to express themselves a little bit better. Actually, I will be doing a piece with Lisa Winstead.
Okay.
And we're really excited about that, to collaborate on a piece together. And the Lake Effect Toastmasters, as all Toastmasters groups are, is a place where you can actually be graded by your peers and give speeches and learn how to actually put that together to help you enunciate better and get your point across more clearly and try to get rid of all of those hanging ums and so's mm-hmm. when you talk. And you can use that in all types of business as well as public speaking. Myself, I've been public speaking before, but there's plenty of people that need to just put a business presentation together and really are afraid of the audience. And it helps you, you know, ease you into that particular thing. It's Toastmasters Group.
Now, it's relatively new at Hobart, right? About a year or two?
We are 1 year chartered, yes, exactly.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, is there an age group on this?
There is not. Well, 18 and above.
Okay.
18 and above.
Mm-hmm. I remember... It's weird because I can go on stage in front of thousands of people now and not think twice or talk on the air or go on TV. But back when I was in high school, I was afraid to stand up in front of a class. And people say, how could you have been afraid? You know, I was so insecure, I guess the word is. And I'm glad that there are programs like that now for people because, like you said, you use it in everyday life. You don't have to go into show business to do it, but just to speak. And it's interesting because now that there's more events like this, Listen to Your Mother, I mean, there's more opportunities for people to get up and get involved.
Absolutely. And with the generation now that doesn't do a lot of speaking, I think.
Yeah, everyone speaks with their thumbs.
Right, exactly. It gets you the opportunity to speak out a little bit more. We actually have high school clubs,
as Jose
too.
Is doing right now, behind the board. you said you and Lisa are doing a duo. Is that the only one, Carrie, that's
that will be the only duo in our show.
Okay. How does that work? Is this an original piece?
Actually, they each came in with a separate audition.
Okay.
And they had similar themes. And I really wanted to do something unique and have a duo in the show. So they allowed me to kind of piece their two readings together to create one act for the show. So...
What, were they similar themes then that you were talking about, that they could interwoven so much?
Exactly. It's about the message of motherhood. You know, Lisa's story kind of leans in that direction of not listening and just getting away from the children sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And mine leans into that craziness of having been the mother of a number of different animals and chickens and children and who's listening to me ever. So it's kind of all put together to hopefully entertain.
All right. It's interesting because, you know, a lot of times we forget all the hats that a mom wears, all the jobs that a mom does. And well, that last song, My Mother, My Teacher, My Friend, we learn so much from our moms. We learn how to cook. We learn how to wash. We learn how to clean. We learn how to behave in public. We learn our manners. I mean, granted, fathers are part of that too, but it seems to always fall on the moms. And are most of the stories that are going to be told, I don't want to get into specifics because I want people to buy tickets and go see this, but are most of the stories that we're going to hear from the cast, are they all pro-mom? Or do we have any of those Joan Crawford moms rearing
their heads? I would say we have a nice mix of all types of moms. We have some that are honest about their own journey with motherhood and its imperfection, some about their own mother's imperfections. And they say that every show sort of has a theme, and I would say that if ours was to have a theme, it's that motherhood is imperfect.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of comes across a great deal through many of our readings and performances.
Okay. We also have Melissa here. Melissa, are you also from Hobart?
I am not. I actually grew up in Munster.
Okay. We will not hold that against you.
That's all right.
Now, you, like Carrie, are a teacher, I heard.
Yes.
Correct?
Carrie and I have actually been teaching across the hall from each other for about 15 years.
Wow.
So I know Carrie on many facets.
So you also know a lot about mothers because you're dealing with a lot of children who obviously have mothers, and there's always the parent-teacher conferences. How much do you draw, like with your stories in this, from real mothers you've met? I mean, there's got to be some real pieces of work and some real wonderful ones.
Yeah, well, I think just a few years ago when I now my oldest is going to be four, I realized when I was picked to be the graduation speaker at Maryville High School that all of these kids, regardless of how horrible they are and how good they are all somebody's child. So they all have mothers. And the way that I talked about my children and all the silliness and all the frustrations, somebody is talking about them like that with those same stories.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of really revamped the way that I looked at my kids in my classroom, and it kind of humanized the element of motherhood for me on a different level. And bottom line is definitely the apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
Right, so. Right. Let's talk a little bit about some of the cast. How many did you say total?
There are 15 altogether.
And we do have a couple of men in there.
We do. We have Albert Escobedo and Don Barron, who some of our audience members may know from...
From Bravo Johnny.
From Bravo Johnny and Dick Diamond and the Dusters. Also...
He also had Cheese Pizza.
Oh, yes. And
remember that?
He's also a stand-up comedian who trained at Second City under, guess who, Tina Fey.
Very talented
so pretty
guy.
Awesome.
Also an educator.
Yes. He used to teach at Maryville with us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So do you get a lot of guys that come out?
Well, this is my first time producing, so I'm not sure in the past how many men have come out to audition. But I did make a concerted effort to sort of promote and encourage men and people of different ethnicities to try out for the show. I really wanted this show to be a reflection of Northwest Indiana.
Okay. Let's play another song. We're going to get back and talk some more and identify who the cast members are. We'll run down the list right now. Let's do the band Perry. Going to send us out to my son Dylan. It's one of his favorites. Mother Like Mine, the band Perry.
There's no safer place I've found than the shoulder of her white nightgown. Oh, I've got the best and the worst of her in me, and I'd share her if I could, so the wars would all be over. 'Cause she'd raise us all as friends, and no one would ever wonder if somebody wanted them. We'd walk on grass that's greener, and our kids cares, would all be freer if the world had a mother like mine. She's our father's one great love. She's the one he wanted most. She's the light in the window of the house I grew up in.
Perry, mother like mine. I like the line in there about if she was everyone's mother, there'd be no more wars, no more fighting. Peacekeeper, that is something else, another role that a lot of moms have to play, especially when there's lots of children involved. And we've got a couple of teachers here that can attest to sometimes playing peacekeeper, I'm sure, in the classroom when kids get into it. That's got to be difficult. You guys have to have a tough job. You got all these other people's children, and
it's tough, but we love it. We have some great kids at Maryville High School. They're very resilient, and it's really a positive place to get to work and teach every day. And I would say the staff and the kids were like a big family. We all really look out for each other, and it's a very enjoyable place to work.
You're listening to Midwest Beat. I'm Tom Lounges, and tonight our topic is Listen to Your Mother on May 12th at the Art Theater in downtown Hobart at 7 p.m. It's a approximately 90-minute production. It's featuring your neighbors, members of the community, telling true, diverse stories about motherhood. And it starts early at 6 o'clock. The doors open, and there's a little cocktail party.
Cocktail hour with some jazz. We have the group Vintage Postcard playing.
Okay.
The Three Monkeys Pub will have some beverages and food for purchase. They'll even take care of your needs at your seat if you'd like. So,
wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Now, this is open to all ages. This is a family event.
It's a family event, but I would say my suggestion would be like 15 and above.
Okay.
Just because of some of the content of some of the readings, it might be a little bit too adult for.
Now, I imagine with all the different stories and all the different people and all the different perspectives, there is a bit of an emotional wave that will be run. I mean, we'll be laughing, we'll be crying,
we'll
be sad, we'll be happy.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the topics, without getting specific, and then we'll talk about some of the cast members.
Yeah, I think the range of topics, it's very interesting to see how so many pieces overlay with others, or how many people, different aspects of other people's stories are identified in their own, such as adoption.
Mm-hmm.
We have multiple perspectives of adoption, from being a birth mom, and wanting to adopt, to being found on social media by a child that you had placed for adoption.
Those are topics that will be covered, yes, at this particular one?
Yes. Okay. The range of emotions, at our first rehearsal, I was not planning to have any emotional reaction, especially reading my own piece, because mine's comical. And just how authentic everybody is and how these stories are real. They're not fiction. Mm-hmm. Nothing is embellished, and this is all the truth. And to see all these women share their stories of struggle, of resiliency, of saving their children from disaster, laughing about the imperfections of their own mothers and showing how the experiences of other women in their life have shaped them into the mothers that they are. And you can't help but react. Yes, you will probably have everything from, gut-wrenching laughter to, that lump in your throat that you're trying to hold back because you don't want to cry in public.
Now, with the range of emotion, do you think, again, it hasn't happened yet, and you've only got a few rehearsals here, but do you think some may get so choked up they'll have a hard time finishing? I mean,
they may or may not. Usually, by the time the show arrives, everyone kind of has that worked out. But if they do, that's fine too, because okay, it's real. That's what the show's about, is real stories, real emotion, and people in the audience connecting to that. I remember when I was in the cast in 2014, I had many people come up and say how my story of adopting my son touched them and, how they could relate. And, other cast members, one person in my class had gone through depression as a single mother and thought about suicide, and people were coming up to her because there's so many people out there that identify with your story. And as Lisa Winstead says in her piece, me too, like, I understand, I get it. Yeah, mm-hmm. I relate to what you're saying.
Now, Rose, you mentioned that you recently lost your mom. Mm-hmm. Are there stories about loss in this, and maybe on the shoe on the other foot, of moms that have had to bury their children? Is that something that's touched upon?
That will be touched upon.
That's got to be tough.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I did bury my mother just less than 2 months ago. My mother was 84 years old, and she'd been sick for a long, long time. And, like I said, she was my biggest fan. Mm-hmm. So having her by my side still today, even auditioning for that piece on Saturday, knowing how much she would want me to be there, she would always tell somebody. I mean, I was like a rock star in her book, and just having that type of mother behind you. And the same type of mom, in the same way that I could fight with as hard as we fought and love as hard as we loved. It was just our upbringing. We're a Sicilian family, and we talk loud. And
with your hands.
The way we are, and with our
hands. You're doing it right now.
I know. <right? laughs> That's helping me express myself.
Right.
But there's a lot of different aspects of loss when you come to talk about motherhood. You can... just the loss, too, of even children just moving out of your home.
Oh, the empty nest syndrome.
Yeah. I've experienced that. I have some at home and some that are gone already. And it's a difficult place to be. Motherhood has many different faces.
You've done this before, Carrie,
I
correct?
Have. Mm-hmm.
What's the sense after it's done of, I don't want to say purging yourself, but kind of putting it all out there and getting these things that may be very private, public? What's the feeling you have?
I think it's very cathartic. And I know when I was in the show, I speak in front of teenagers every day, but I had a real issue, a real fear with speaking in front of adult audiences. Mm-hmm. So one of my reasons for auditioning for the show was to get over that fear. And I was at the Memorial Opera House speaking in front of 300 plus people sharing my story, and I actually really enjoyed it, and it helped me to get over that fear. So,
if I may say so too, I think that motherhood in itself is like that. It's like an audition. We are scrutinized for so many things that we do when we're raising our children. Do we do it like the lady next door? Should we do it like the lady next door?
Right.
You know?
It kind of makes us feel like sometimes we're less than we are when really we're not. So
absolutely.
Because there's no real rule book.
No.
You could say, I'm raising you like my mom raised me, but maybe there were some faults growing up that you saw in your mom, and you don't want to repeat that.
Absolutely.
And the lady next door may not be the perfect mom, or she might be. And it's weird because, like I said, there's no rule book, and there's no for any kind of parenting. It's kind of trial and error.
And it's okay if some nights your kids are eating fruit snacks and goldfish crackers for dinner, and that's okay. So
I want you to be my mom. She never let me have fruit snacks and goldfish.
I think
Tom, were those invented when you were a baby? I'm not sure.
We sweat stuff so much, I think, as mothers, and you know, want so much for our kids to fit whatever mold that we think they're supposed to fit. And at the end of the day, you know what? Sometimes you just got to have ice cream for dinner.
We've got 15 people involved in this. Again, it's Listen to Your Mother. It's a special theatrical event going on at the Art Theater on, it's Saturday, right? May 12th?
Saturday, May 12th.
7 p.m. is when the production starts, but get there early for cocktails and some jazz from Vintage Postcard.
Vintage Postcard.
Remembered. And we'll hear some wonderful stories. 15 people, that's a lot, and it runs about 90 minutes. What happens if they run over in their story?
We'll be okay.
Okay.
But most of the performances are between 3 and 5 minutes. So okay. we stipulate that prior to auditions. So it fits nicely into that 90-minute format.
You mentioned music. So
yes.
There is some musical performance in there as well?
Yes. Don Barron is creating a special song just for the event that he will finish off the event for us with.
Are there any visual effects or anything, or is it pretty much just speaking?
Visual is in what?
Theatrical screens.
There will be a screen behind the performers that will bear a picture of their topic to help the audience connect a little better. And when Rose is talking about her kids, they'll get to see actually, those are Rose's
kids.
I know who she's speaking about. Same with Melissa. And all, you know.
Carrie really wanted me to do like a motherhood interpretive dance, but I had to respectfully decline.
I must have missed out on that. I don't remember that one, but yes. And so, it'll be a great show.
Who are the members of the cast? Do we have a list that we can give a shout out to?
We do. Melissa's going to share that with us.
Sure do.
And while she's pulling that up, Carrie, are they all primarily Hobart-based people, or
from
all over?
All over. So we have people from all over Northwest Indiana, but we also have three ladies from Illinois, Chicago area. One grew up in Hobart, and she's actually coming back to read a piece that is going to be the first time that she's speaking about this particular sensitive topic in front of a live audience and in Hobart where it all took place. So, and then we have Rachel Galanis, who is from Milwaukee. She drove all the way from Milwaukee to audition, and she's been driving that 3-hour drive to our practices, and we're really excited to have her involved.
She must be very passionate about what she has to say.
She is. She
knew this story had to be told.
She did.
And this was the venue to do it.
And she also fell in love with seeing her friends in productions in Milwaukee previously. Okay. And there's not a show there this year. So she decided to trek to Northwest Indiana and made the cast.
And we're glad she did.
We did. She's awesome.
How many total before you cut it to 15, do you think, ballpark?
Oh, around 40.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That had to be tough to narrow it down.
It was really tough because there were a lot of amazing stories. But again, it's kind of like, how does each piece fit with another? And then to create like all the pieces of a puzzle. So
I was going to say, this is kind of like an emotional quilt.
Very much so, yes.
Melissa, who do we have in the cast?
Carrie had talked about a few. Don Barron, she'd already talked about. And myself, we have Nicole. Nicole's story is one of the adoption related stories. She's teaching at
She's a guidance counselor at Lake Central.
Lake Central.
Okay.
Amelia.
Koalison. She is the executive director of Emma's Footprints.
Yeah, her story. Yeah, you need to get the tissues ready.
Get the tissues ready.
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh.
She's amazing. And just, I give her so much credit just for being able to do what she's doing with, you know, the things that she's been given to handle in her life with being a mom. And I'm getting a little emotional just even thinking about it. See? Get your tissues ready when you come, man. And Tina's story. I love Tina's story.
Tina's story is called A Bushel No Peck.
Yeah. And, you know, you were talking about mothers being different and, mm-hmm. you know, getting, you know, learning from how you want to parrot from the experiences that you've had with your mother.
Right.
And each mother is different on how they're going to parent their children.
She kind of speaks a little bit about her own mother and her, and then her mother-in-law as well. So kind of cool.
Yeah, it's an awesome story.
And then she's actually, this is her third time being a cast member and listens to your mother. So pretty awesome.
She's a good person to know. And Albert.
Albert Escobedo.
Yeah, he's our, I'm talking about my mom. And, you know, when the boys talk about their moms, I think they're always nervous that they're going to be taken one way or the other.
Right. Mm-hmm. And keep in mind, you know, he is a stand-up comedian, so he's kind of poking fun of the situations with his mother.
His teacher's like, he's using a little hyperbole.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And Albert, actually, he was performing in Seoul, Korea, and helped start some comedy groups there. Was in Hollywood for a while, and then
is he from
back,
here?
He is from East Chicago, and then Merrillville, and currently, I believe he lives in Cherrillville.
Okay.
And then we have talked about Rose here and her duo with Lisa.
Yes.
And Rachel. Rachel is our
Milwaukee girl.
Yeah, stud mm-hmm. who's driving, and Natalie McClinton. Yes. I had the pleasure of teaching Natalie's two daughters over the past few years, and her piece is actually,
it's more like poetry.
Yeah,
it kind of talks about everything she's gone through with her daughters, and then kind of being an empty nester.
Okay.
So, because both of her daughters now are in grad school and undergrad, and then Megan, who I always feel like now is my writer doppelganger. I think we're very we're boy moms, so.
Megan's from the Chicago area, and she was actually previously a cast member in Chicago? Listen to Your Mother in Chicago. Mm-hmm. So,
okay. Now, how many of these are going on around the country in
any
given time?
There's eight this year.
Always around Mother's Day?
Typically, yes. But now that it's through the licensing company, you have the freedom to sort of
Do whenever
you'd like to, yes.
Did we miss anybody?
Yeah, we have a few people left. Okay. We have Kristen Schumacher.
Mm-hmm. Hers is a very interesting piece. It's called Octopus Mother.
Very unique.
So,
it's definitely.
Not to be confused with the Octomom from
a few years ago
on the Inquirer.
Not even in the same entity.
No.
And Julia's story. Julia's story was pretty amazing.
Yeah, Julia's is going to be another tearjerker. And the way she writes, I just love the way she writes. It's very unexpected, and she's going to keep you kind of on the edge of your seat, not knowing, you know, who is she talking about.
Yeah, it's like one of those books that you finish reading and you turn the page because you think there's more, and that was it. She's definitely a very powerful story.
Julia Wilson, by the way.
That's Julia Wilson, mm-hmm. and we have Heidi
Van Howe. She's also from the Chicago area. She's a Chicago Now blogger. And I fell in love with her piece. Her piece is about her mother and just the way she writes so descriptively. And it just painted a picture for me. And I knew I had to have her piece in the show. So
yeah, she's
a great writer.
Vivid imagery, again, as English teachers would use her piece as a lesson for. And then Bennett, who is also
Bennett
at
Gallivan.
The high school with Carrie and I. I'll let you.
Yeah, her story, it's really about the reality of motherhood. And she starts off at her piece is called Dear Bubby. And she writes about the letters she wrote to her son as he was growing up. And then the reality of what the situation really was.
Okay.
So how we try to kind of paint that picture of, everything was, you know, rainbows and sunshine. But here's really what happened.
And I think that's a realistic thing for
a lot of
like those Loves commercials.
Right.
Where they're like first time moms.
Right.
And then second time moms, you're just throwing a diaper
more.
In your purse.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So like what you really want to be like and then what really ends up happening.
Sterilize the first binky of the firstborn and then the last of them, right?
Yeah,
You mentioned that there's a lot of stories some stories of adoption, and you mentioned at some point, and I don't know if it was in this particular show or not, of reuniting with an adopted child. Is that one of the stories?
Mm-hmm. We do have a story, a birth mom story, and an adoptive mom story, and then I've adopted, And then we have two cast members who are also adopted. So we feel really passionate about those two stories, especially. And at first I wasn't sure if I should cast both ladies. I didn't know if then the adoption component would be too overpowering, but
different perspectives,
and I think they both need to be heard. Very important.
Topic that wasn't talked about a lot, just not too long ago.
No.
And then suddenly, and maybe it's because they were celebrities, the Madonnas and the Angelina Jolies, they made it topical. I don't want to say trendy because that's the wrong word, but they made it topical. People talked about adopting,
right.
Being adopted and adopting and why. And it wasn't a stigma anymore. It was like, this is a wonderful thing. Kids are being helped. Yeah, parents are being helped.
Definitely. I'm actually one of the cast members who is adopted. And adoption 30 years ago is not anything close to how adoption is now. This, all of this open adoption and, you know, things that are, you know, just more socially accepted. And you said the stigma's kind of gone. That's definitely been a recent evolution. And I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful for the opportunity that these ladies both, that Carrie picked both of them, and they got to share their stories.
Well, this song is very much about that. This is Paul Simon, Mother and Child Reunion.
No, I would not give you false hope on this strange and mournful day. But the mother and child reunion is only a motion away. Oh, little darling of mine, I care for the life of me. Remember a Saturday. I know they say let it be, but it just don't work out that way. And the course of a lifetime runs over and over again. No, I would not give you false hope on this strange and mournful day. But the mother and child reunion is on. Oh, little darling of mine, I just can't believe it so. Though it seems strange to say, I've never been late so low. Such a mysterious way, in the course of a lifetime runs over and over again. But I would not give you false hopes on this strange and mournful day, when the mother and child reunion is on the emotion way. Oh, oh, the mother and child reunion is on the emotion way. Oh, the mother and child.
The greatest songwriters in pop music, Mr. Paul Simon, Mother and Child Reunion. That's one of the themes that we'll be hearing about at Listen to Your Mother. Again, it happens on Saturday, May 12th, 7 p.m. It starts, doors open at 6 with a jazzy little cocktail party, and that's at the Art Theater in downtown Hobart. It's about 90 minutes or so of stories, real-life stories about motherhood, about being a mom, having a mom, losing a mom, finding a mom, finding your kids, any variation of those stories and more. And one of the things that we need to stress is that this is not something for women. This is not a glorified soap opera or talk show. This is something for anyone that's got a heart, anyone that's got a mind, anyone that's got a conscience, anyone that's got a story, anyone that had a mother. It's for you. So stop out May 12th at the Art Theater and support this cause because, well, we're going to tell you where it's going in just a minute, but tell us about the whole why it's not just for women.
It just encompasses so many different topics, you know, of being a mom, but also just the stories of life. You know, and for that reason, we don't want to exclude anyone. So It doesn't matter if you are a mother or if you have a mother or if you never had a mother. You know, you still understand motherhood, whether that's given from your father or your teacher. It's the perspective of motherhood that we want everyone to see. So whether you are a mother or not, you don't have to be a woman. I mean, there will be men in the audience, and we're hoping that there'll be lots of men in the audience. Mm-hmm. We're excited about that.
My husband come.
Yeah. Right. Mine will be there, too.
And, you know, of course, we have the two male perspectives. Absolutely. About Albert's is about his mom, and then Don covers a gamut of women in his life, from his mom to his mother-in-law to his wife. Mm-hmm. So, and then of course we have people talking about their sons as well. So the male species would also maybe relate to some of those stories and kind of relate to, oh yeah, that happened with my mom and I as well.
Absolutely. It was for everyone.
I thought about it when we first heard about this. I actually talked about maybe auditioning for it because I played the role of mom and dad for a while. I was a single dad raising a daughter. And that was one of the hardest things because I don't know things about girls and women, you know, and here I am trying to raise a girl soon to be a teenager. How do you talk to them? What do you say? How do you guide them? And that was a very challenging thing for me.
We're challenging. Women are challenging.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, you truly are from Mars. Really, men are from Mars.
Women are from Venus.
That's right, Venus, the planet of love.
Yes.
One of the things that we do need to stress is that by going to this event, not only are you supporting the community and supporting each other and your neighbors and emotionally with these wonderful stories and learning about different aspects of motherhood, you're also helping a wonderful cause because the money from this is not really going into anyone's pocket. It's going back into good. And Carrie, tell us about that.
So a portion of the proceeds are going to be donated to the American Cancer Society. It's a charity close to my heart. My mom has been living with lung cancer for 6 years. Both my grandmothers survived breast cancer, and I had an uncle that succumbed to esophageal and throat cancer. And, you know, many, many people I've known, you know, friends of friends have been affected. And I'm sure pretty much everyone in that audience will have known someone who has been affected by cancer. And we're also encouraging audience members to wear cancer ribbons in the colors that they or their family or friends have been affected by. So, so a portion of the proceeds will be going to the American Cancer Society.
Okay. Being your first event.
Yes.
And being the first time this is running at the Art, which is a relatively new theater as far as live entertainment, what are your expectations?
Well, my expectations are that I want the audience to go on an emotional roller coaster journey, if you will, of the nuances of motherhood. But my personal goal is I would like to fill, there's 426 seats, and my goal is to fill at least 400 of those seats. And at this time, we've sold approximately 300 tickets. So
wow, that's very good. Applause.
Yes.
I'm
and
impressed.
So we have just 100 tickets to go with a few weeks, so I'm fairly confident we can make that happen.
You've been marketing very heavily. I've seen the posters like in every window in downtown Hobart, and I'm sure you've taken them elsewhere.
Yes. So I want to specifically thank the community of Hobart and Valparaiso as well, and Crown Point for allowing me to hang those posters and supporting our show.
We're talking about Listen to Your Mother. We're down to the last minute or so here. Just want to remind everybody that it is May 12th, Saturday, at the Art Theater in downtown Hobart. 6 p.m., cocktails and jazz. 7 p.m., the entertainment starts with the stories. Do you have the set order of the performers?
We do.
Okay, so everything is pretty well ironed out.
Everything's ironed out. And one other thing I wanted to mention is that we have a contest going with the Downtown Hobart Merchants, you included.
That's true.
And it's a shop local initiative, so we're trying to help out the community that way. But we have a fun contest. There's a blue sheet at about 8 businesses in Hobart, and you can stop in and ask them questions. You can tag them in the show to earn some points to win a prize at the show. And also, some of them have adopted famous mothers. And if you take a selfie and tag the business in the show, we will calculate those and have a raffle. We have some awesome prizes donated by local businesses. So,
so you visit the businesses, and then you can win some great stuff, too.
Absolutely.
Where do they pick up these little passports?
So you could get them at the Librarium Cafe, Three Monkeys, Tom from Tom Lounges. He has some.
I do.
Toys in the Attic, Villa de Sol, Montego Bay, and Green Door Books.
All right. Ladies, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
And come out to the show.
May 12th.
You won't regret it. You will not regret it.
Remember, everyone, as we say goodbye, listen to your mother. Adios.